Welcome to the How to Be a Minimalist podcast. My name is Katie and I'm your host. Thanks so much for joining me and I hope you enjoy the podcast episodes. Don't forget to check out the backlist. Also, you can find the links to all of the things that I talk about in the details of this podcast episode. You can also check out my YouTube channel, which I would very greatly appreciate. This is episode number 80. What do you want to get out of minimalism? Hello, minimalists. As always, I hope you're having an excellent week. And I will have to be honest here. I have been having one of those times of life of growth opportunity. You know, it's great. In a lot of ways, it is excellent. But sometimes it feels like how I imagine babies feel when they're growing teeth. Ultimately, I know it's for my good, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to grow. Yeah, growing pains are real, but I am grateful for it. And, you know, we're all doing well. We're figuring things out, and it's really good. I'm seeing a massive shift in how I'm doing things, and I'm also really diving deeply into some emotional minimalistic practices, which can be intense. You know, it can be very, very intense. Some of my goals have been set aside at this time in my life. I'm just really trying to make sure I'm staying healthy. I have upped my walking to walking and running. I've kind of changed some of my goals a little bit, and I want to talk about that in another podcast episode. I just think right now is not the time. But I feel really good physically, and I am still working on being more athletic for the summertime when we tend to hike and do various things like that a lot more and with more intensity. So I am feeling very good that way. I'm mostly just trying to work through this kind of deep emotional, mental type stuff that needs to be worked through. And that is where the growth opportunity is. And it feels good. It really, really does feel good to be working on it. This is the time in the season for it though. So I'm just taking this opportunity and trying to embrace it and enjoy it and get out of it whatever I possibly can and trying to glean that. I have had this experience many times in my life where I've had an opportunity for growth and sometimes I take it and sometimes I don't. I'm always glad when I do. And I always feel that, like growing muscles, even though it's hard work, it always feels really good. And I feel like a stronger person for it. So I'm grateful for this opportunity. It's good. I am just about to record Patreon episode number 29. Signs it's time to ditch or donate. And so if you want to become a patron, you absolutely can. And it means so much to me. I'm so grateful for that. It just keeps the podcast going. I do have costs. It's not like YouTube where you reach a certain point and then, you know, they start paying you for putting ads or things like that. So podcasters, they do not make money unless they have sponsorships or have ads or different things like that. You patrons, you're keeping this show going. You're paying for the cost of the hosting and all of that sort of thing. And I really appreciate that. So if you want to become a patron, that'd be excellent. You can also find a Venmo link in there if you just want to throw a tip in the tip jar just to make sure these episodes keep on coming. So thank you for considering that. I really appreciate it. And to all my lovely patrons, I love you. Thank you for being a patron. My something interesting today is all about this excellent podcast, an interesting podcast that I listen to sometimes, but this episode in particular was good and actually was kind of instrumental in me kind of figuring out some things on my little growth journey. The podcast is called Humans Dealing with Humans, and this gal just interviews people that have really interesting life stories or experiences. I often will listen when I am like driving. Like when I was driving back and forth, when I was caregiving a lot, I would listen to a bunch of these episodes, and it kept me alert and on the road, focused and all that sort of thing. So that was really where I discovered Humans Dealing with Humans. The episode that I'm talking about is the last one of May 2021, in case you're listening to this far into the future, and it is called Moral Inventory. She interviews a woman that was sent to prison for 4.5 years. She had some dealings with real estate fraud, and so she went to prison for 4.5 years, but her attitude and her positivity are just inspiring to me, because I know a lot of times we can go through really negative experiences and become very negative people due to those experiences. Beside it being very interesting, I have listened to it twice now and will listen to it again and probably again, because there are so many deep insights in this podcast episode. Also, the host has dealt with disordered eating and some things like that. And it's very interesting to hear her perspective and how we can become so entrapped in those things in our lives that really shouldn't have a place there, but for one reason or another do. And we become in a place where we are not taking good care of ourselves in one way or another. And it was just interesting to hear how this woman dealt with fraud and this other woman has disordered eating, and yet they had some of the very same experiences in working out of these problems. As I was listening to this podcast episode, this gal talked about how she took moral inventory. And first, she witnessed someone reading out her moral inventory, but then she actually did her own. And when she talked about how she found it so powerful hearing this woman explain all of the things that she had done in her life that were wrong, or even things that people had done to her that were wrong, but that she wasn't happy with the way that she had dealt with them in such an honest way, this woman was empowered and felt that she wanted to do this too. And she said that being 100% completely honest with herself about her whole experience, and just she went back all the way to when she was a child. It was intense hearing it, but it made me so emotional, and it made me realize that while we all have things that are beyond our control, I have sometimes not been fair to myself or others as I have lived my life based on my experiences that I've had. And so this moral inventory episode was so powerful, so interesting, and it actually made me want to do my own moral inventory. You may be wondering, what does moral inventory have to do with minimalism? From my experience, though, it has a lot to do with it. There are so many reasons why people practice minimalism or why people hoard, and a lot of it has to do with our experiences in life and how they are linked and deeply, deeply linked, almost welded together with possessions. All of that began when I was a kid, for me personally. Some people find it in adulthood. If you ever watch the show Hoarders, which I now see is on Netflix, I haven't watched an episode yet because it's a little sensitive there. I don't know if I want to watch it, and it just makes me so sad. If it's available and you have been curious about Hoarders, check it out. I really feel that when we are honest with ourselves about why we act in certain ways, we actually find out why we keep certain things, people, activities, whatever, actual physical possessions in our lives. And I think that's where the heart of minimalism is. And that is why minimalism is and must look different to every single person. There is no one way to practice minimalism. Minimalism, in my opinion, has been a spectrum forever, and it ranges from almost being an extreme maximalist to being an extreme minimalist with just a handful of possessions. So to me, there is no wrong way to do it. The right way is what works best for you. And when you're being honest with yourself, that is when you're going to figure out exactly what that kind of minimalism is, and it will be a meaningful part of your life. When I was scripting my episode this week, the first thing that came to mind when I was kind of considering this topic was minimalism is and must be for ourselves first and foremost. It touches so many different parts of our lives if we let it. It really can touch every aspect of our lives, quite frankly. That is what I'm finding the more I practice it. If we practice it, though, to convince others to become minimalistic, or when we force it on our children, from my experience, that has gone really poorly. And I have also not appreciated minimalism being forced on me in various ways. So I've learned, just from my personal experiences, that it really does have to be about us and it has to come from us. Similar to getting healthier, whatever your health is, if you want to get healthier, it really has to come from you first. When we practice minimalism for ourselves, though, it can be healing, it can be nurturing, and it can lead to one of the best things that we've ever done in our lives and a way of living that can just be so healthy and wonderful for ourselves, both mind and body. I'm convinced that possessions carry so much baggage, as well as like self-preservation, that to choose how we deal with our own things, as long as we're able to, is essential for mental health and for habit development. I know that in times when I've really looked at the way I was behaving, especially when I first became aware that I had a problem, I started to look at the way I was behaving and realized that it was self-preservation. I didn't realize it, but I thought that these things would be self-preserving. And so I was trying to get security by having more food in the house, or I was trying to get security by saying yes to certain objects like, oh yeah, I could use two of those, what if one breaks? That is a certain type of awareness that one needs to develop in order to be able to practice minimalism, because a lot of times we don't want to let go of things because we are worried about self-preservation, which is real. There are a certain amount of things that a person needs. We know the essentials. We have to have shelter, water, food, right? There are just lists of things that, and different layers of things that we need. I think that if you want the longevity of minimalism, you have to examine that. Like, why am I keeping this? And when you come to, this is a self-preservation item, that is when you need to decide what to do with it. My habits really changed as soon as I realized that I thought I was bringing self-preservation in with some of these items. As I accepted that it was unhealthy behavior and that it was not self-preservation, and that I was, you know, there was safety in our home and what we already had, we did not need more. That is when I was actually able to really change. As far as someone else trying to get rid of my stuff for me, there have been a lot of negative experiences in my life with that, quite honestly. And it just is not something that I want to choose for anyone else. There are so many items that I don't even think people realize they have baggage with. And it's a deep process with minimalism to go through your things and to figure out what is holding you back from letting go of certain items. For some people, it's not. But a lot of people hoard things because of that baggage and they don't even realize it. And it's not a matter of just one or two counseling sessions or a talk with a friend or just to decide, I'm going to get rid of all my stuff. It's a matter of diving deep into all of the issues and figuring it out. Once you really grasp that minimalism is for yourself, first and foremost for yourself, you can dive into figuring out what you want to get out of it, how you want it to affect your life, how you want it to affect your home, how you want it to develop your relationships and habits and so many different aspects. Like, you really can get out of minimalism what you want and how you want it to serve your life. While listening to this podcast episode of Moral Inventory from Humans Dealing with Humans, I was able to kind of spend some time talking with a friend about some of the things that I had learned. And we went very deep as we were talking, and it made me realize that I have some stuff that I need to figure out. I feel like in general, we have a moral obligation to output positivity as much as we can. And I'm talking very generally. I'm not saying you can't have a bad day or that, you know, you can't get yourself out of a really negative or toxic situation or things like that. I'm not saying that. I'm also not saying that people that have concerns or whatever are not valid. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying, generally speaking, most people in a community outputting positivity most of the time, generally speaking, we'll live in a good community, right? Like, or even just the way that you look at your home. Let's take this on a even smaller level. If most people are outputting positivity, you know, generally tidying up after themselves, maybe helping out here or there, then a home will be a nicely balanced place. I have noticed an imbalance in my life as I've noticed that I've been doing things, certain things anyway, for other people where it's beyond what is necessary to reach that kind of moral obligation. So I feel like there's kind of just this little bubble that is like, okay, this is a standard. This is what should be not like required of you, but you should require of yourself this much output of positivity. And beyond that, we should figure out what we want to do and how we want to live, because as soon as we start restricting ourselves or only concerning ourselves with how we can make everything better, an example of outputting too much would be like one person that cleans the whole house and then nobody else is helping, and that person can feel resentful. And it's also preventing the other people in the house from putting out their kind of standard of positivity and reaching their moral obligation. So it creates an imbalance. And I'm finding those kinds of imbalances in my life. It's a long story, but talking about the moral inventory with my friend and some of these imbalances basically made me figure out that I actually need to write out a list of things that I like to do and things that I don't like to do. And this is, it's really too long of a story to tell right now. And I'm not going to go into the whole thing of why I came to this conclusion that I needed to write out these lists, but it is part of, I'm deciding, my moral inventory and just being totally honest with myself is actually figuring out what I like and what I don't like on a very, very deep and detailed level. It is actually an interesting experiment. It has been fun. Some of it has been a little bit tedious to write out or painful to write out even. A lot of it has been fun. Some of the fun things have been like figuring out, like, I really like to be warm, really warm, like where my bones feel warm. I grew up in the desert. I love being warm. I know some people hate being warm. I love it. It feels good to me. This is just something that has been very interesting, and it's been a fascinating way to me to figure out some of these things for myself. Just doing this experiment and trying to learn about what beyond my kind of moral obligation that I've set for myself, my standard for myself of my positivity output, what do I actually want to do? What do I like to do? What I've realized as I've done this, though, is that minimalism has helped me out in a lot of ways to figure out some of these things for myself as I've gone along. And I'm being detailed mostly because it's very introspective and interesting to me, but it's really not necessary for anyone. However, you may find that you want to do this with minimalism because you can learn what things you like in your home. You could go through your whole home and kind of like do an inventory of things that you like in your home and things that you don't like in your home. You can do this with your calendar. Which activities do you really enjoy? Which ones stress you out? Why do they stress you out? And that's one of the things that I'm doing on my little list is, if I know why I like or don't like that thing, I will write that detail in. So if there's something that stresses me out, I write down why it stresses me out. That way I'm actually learning about myself. And that way, maybe I don't want to get rid of an item from my home or from my little list of activities that our family participate in, but maybe I can figure out how to address the stress instead of address the activity and ditch the activity because I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Which aspects of your work do you like or don't like? What aspects of your relationships are going really great and that you like, and which ones do you not like? I'm not a counselor or a therapist. This is just a self-induced experiment here, and it's something that I am diving deeply into as I explore and figure out some of these imbalances in my life. I do think it is a very interesting experiment, and I think it can really be a positive thing when it comes to minimalism and figuring out what you actually want to get out of it. Once we understand what we like and what we don't like, we can start ditching, donating, and decluttering. We can go through our home and say, you know, I really don't like that. And it makes us feel detached from that item. And it's so much easier to let it go. Or you might find something that you really love and you want to feature in your home. You may even find that you love this certain throw pillow because of some reason, and you decide that you want to base your home decor around that item. It might guide you in your style decisions as you move forward with your home. We can also set a standard for what comes into our home. So instead of just allowing as many things in as we can, perhaps because of that self-preservation and those instincts that we might feel, you can start to say, but I really don't like that. So no, thank you. I don't need that. Or no, I'm not going to buy that because I don't actually like it. But you can take the opportunity to explore, well, what do I like about it though? And you might find that in some other item that will go with your minimalistic ideals and you can bring into your home at a later point. We can also make plans for when we update our homes or kind of rearrange our homes or our schedules or whatever aspects of our lives. We can kind of look into the future with some of these habits and ideas that we set for ourselves as we figure out that we're practicing minimalism for ourselves and that we're setting standards for ourselves and that we understand what we like and what we don't like. Obviously, there are some things that we can't force change on or with, and they have too much value to let go of, particularly when it comes to relationships and activities. We can choose how we participate We can choose how we engage, and we can decide how we want to interact or how we want to present things in our homes that maybe we are not going to let go of, cannot let go of. Maybe someone in a significant other or one of our relationships really wants that item. So maybe we don't feel this great love for it, but because of the love for it that someone else has, we are going to just let it be and not argue about it and just allow it to be in our home. There are always compromises that we can make, and addressing the actual issue and our needs, as well as respecting and being loving as we address the needs of our significant others, our people in our relationships or whatever. As we kind of do that, we can find compromises and figure out how everyone can have their needs met. Knowing what we want out of minimalism, though, is really the first step. It can be easy to just start letting go of things and to ditch and donate and declutter and get rid of as much as we can. And that feels really good. But there will come a point where we find that things begin to creep back into our lives. And it's a cycle that will continue until we learn what we really, really want. And when we correct those imbalances and explore why we keep on having things reappear into our lives, figuring it out, making it really for ourselves, about ourselves, is the healthiest way to approach minimalism, in my opinion. And in that way, we ultimately will get what we really want out of it. Making sure that we are always kind of looking into the whys behind it is very, very important. My minimalist challenge for you today would be to ask yourself, what are five things that you really like and five things that you don't like? You can go as deep or not deep with this as you want. I just think it's such an interesting experiment, and it helps to get a person in tune with why they are practicing minimalism. You can think about possessions or activities or whatever it is that you'd like, but I feel like it is a way to be more introspective with oneself, and you can gauge it to how you're feeling as well. So try that out. I think I've just scratched the surface at this point, but I'm learning a lot about myself, and it's actually been helping me with more minimalistic practices, especially these emotional minimalistic practices that I'm diving into at this point. So it's been very fun, I guess. Painful sometimes, but it's been a really great opportunity to figure out some of these things for myself. I hope you have a great week. I really, really do. Enjoy your minimalistic practices. I hope you figure out even better what you want. And remember, it's all about the experiences, not the stuff. I'll see you next week.